Hi, this is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson, and I just want to welcome you to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a listening ear. I want to ask you to do one good favor for me. At the end of the broadcast, at the end of the show, I want you to leave a comment. I want to get your feedback. I want to get your thoughts. I want to get your suggestions. This is not all about me, myself, and I. It's about us. So let's talk up close and personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for sharing. Let's get ready and let's talk. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome. Whether it's morning, noon, or night, don't know what time your time zone is, but hey, whatever time it is, I'm glad you are joining us. And welcome to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. This is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson, along with my special guest, the coach, Sabrina Bordley. She's in St. Augustine, Florida. Guess what? Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of being her guest on Marketplace Matters. And we had a little chit chat, some little girl talk. So we set aside to come here to continue the matter, for the conclusion of the matter, the girl chat. Raw, uncensored, uncut, unfiltered. Today we're going to continue with that. We're going to continue with that flow. And I am so excited. How do you say, I am so geeked right now. I am so excited, y'all, because I know it's gonna be good. I believe it in my knower that you're gonna get so many nuggets and you're gonna have so much added to your arsenal to help you engage, to help you heal, to help you be made free, to help you grow. And, you know, even to help you forgive, because forgiveness is the key element in all of this put together with all the different ingredients. If there is no forgiveness, then there can't be healing. There can't be love. There can't be any growth. Love is a necessity. In the matter, forgiveness is showing love, even when the object of affection, you know, flat up, straight up, does not deserve it. But it doesn't matter, because we had a Savior that loved us so much, knowing what we were going to do to him, and he died for us. So the servant is no greater than the master. And let me just put a pin here. I don't care if you believe in Jesus or not. Whatever your higher being is, whoever you decide to worship, or if you choose not to worship anybody, that's cool too. But as for me and my house, and I think I can speak freely for Coach Sabrina as well, we serve God. It is what it is. And he died for us. So guess what? We take on the characteristics of our Creator. Is it easy? Not all the time. Do we want to all the time? Absolutely not. But is it worth it? Absolutely. So without further ado, you see that beautiful smile right there? See that beautiful smile? She's so pretty. She's so pretty. Hey, Coach Sabrina.
Hey, girl. Hey. I am super excited to be here with you. I am so, so excited. We will just continue on. Looks like Dr. Nathalie might have jumped out for a minute, but I am super excited to be here with you guys. I do know that this is a phenomenal opportunity to continue a conversation that was so near and dear to my heart on the Marketplace Matters, because so many times we find that there tries to be a cohesion of kingdom and tradition. And when in all actuality, it is a separate entity. Tradition kept us bound. Tradition did did not allow us to live. Tradition taught us some things that just were not quite right. But we don't blame those who taught us tradition. When we come into the knowledge of Christ, we have to walk circumspectly. We have to walk directly within it. One thing that I can say, that kingdom is definitely where I want to be right now. I find it a privilege and an honor to come before you guys on today. And just to give you a little bit about me, it hasn't always been glitz and glamour, but this is the real me, up close and personal.
Up close and personal, absolutely. I wanted to get out of the way so you don't look at me, don't look at my background and everything, so you could hear exactly what Coach Sabrina had to say. And I'm going to get out of the way a couple more times throughout this conversation, trust and believe that, so that you'll be able to eat from the table, the main course. The question was posed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we met. For those of you that we're going to recap real quick and bring you up speed. A question was posed regarding on Facebook, someone I didn't know, had never met her, didn't know anything about her, but that question said, shh, in your face. And my flesh went, shh, to where the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the doctor, the coach, counselor, everywhere, everybody went out the way, and mama, daughter, sister, and everybody else came up and stood up and said, what the hell? Really? I'm like, are you serious? Is this really is not happening right now? But it was basically, if something was done, was it necessary for the person to apologize to the church? If they did something, was it necessary for them to apologize to the church? And immediately I thought back to days of old, and I still do not understand the purpose of it to this day. But even in the Bible days, if you did something wrong, they would either stone you to death or ostracize you from the complete family. You get put out of the city and you get banished. You could never return. That's how hard it was then, before Jesus came on the scene. And, you know, the church in different faiths also did the same thing, that if a young woman or a young man did something, and it's crazy, it was always normally the woman. The man don't never get checked on anything. The woman got checked on everything, you know. So the thing about it was, they would bring them into the front of the church and turn the person around and face the congregation. They put all their business out there and then put them out the church. That right there, I had an issue with. So I started thinking about that with regards to the question. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. They already know they're going to put you out, so why bring you in front of the church to blast you and then put you out? I thought we're not supposed to be gossipers and judgmental and judge, jury, and executioner. That's what they did back then. And some churches still have the traditional religious mindset that they'll still try you like that now. It's always certain circumstances as to what you will, you know, if the person is a senior leader, and depending upon what it is, they may need to give a general apology, but not even that would require you having to tell your business. So I'm going to ask Coach Sabrina to go in, you know, if she want to talk a little bit about this. So we finna have a little chit chat, girl chat. And like I told y'all, let me make this disclaimer. If you are too saved, that you've forgotten that you were once not saved, if you are too saved that you may not be able to handle, now she might not talk. She may not use some words, but I may use some colorful words. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out. I don't know how this is going to go today. I know how it bothered me, and I'm already healed from it, but just the mindset that people still hold people like this. So I got an issue. So if you're too saved, or if your children are around under eight, I'll say, what did they say? 16 and old, 16 and younger, 16 and younger. If they're around, you might want to have them leave the room. You might not want them to see this. I'm going to put that disclaimer out there. You may not want to see this because we're going to share some things. Okay, Coach Sabrina.
So as Dr. Nathalie said, she said that, and I'm going to sit back because you said we're getting ready to have a conversation. I posed the question. I said, listen, something happens. The young lady, because she just said the women are held to such a higher standard than the male. The young lady had an issue and she got pregnant, right? PK, church kid, always been in the church, was always held up here. You could never falter. There was nothing that you could do in this natural world. Everything you had to be so spiritual, and God forbid if you wanted to do this or that. No, you couldn't do that because of who you were or who you were affiliated with. Well, that happened to Coach Sabrina. Yeah, yeah. See, I never really responded to the question because I wanted to see what the church really had to say. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what the church really felt about the situation. Are we still holding on to tradition? Or have we moved on to kingdom? Hello, we are living in 2021. I got pregnant in 1999. Go with me because I'm definitely going to go somewhere. But if you get distracted, I would tell you to catch the replay. 1999, moved here to St. Augustine, left Jacksonville, left my friends, left everything that I knew behind me. But I carried one thing with me. And that was my ex-boyfriend's seed. Somebody gonna catch that in a minute. I left everything behind, but I brought his seed along with me. Now that's my baby daddy right about now. No, we're not together. We done moved on with our lives. Each of us are married, so forth and so on. But again, being a church kid, I was held to a different standard. So when I finally decided to tell my parents that I was pregnant, my mother already knew, but it totally destroyed her. Because again, I was the AB honor roll, straight A student, always on the student council, went to spelling bees, was always receiving awards in school. My mother just brought it to my attention the other day, a stack of awards that I had received, blue ribbons. I ran track with Bob Hayes. I was in everything, but the moment I made a mistake, the whole world seemed to be collapsing. So I ask you the question today, what would you say? Talking back in 99, I'm getting ready to give birth. By this time, nobody really knew because I didn't really get up in front of people. I wore clothes that hid what was going on with my body. Mom didn't really tell any of the family that her daughter, her baby, was getting ready to have a baby. So I had to live for 9 months, 6, 7 at the most, in shame. I was getting ready to give birth. By the time anybody ever knew what happened, my family that lived out of town had no clue. They found out one day by happenstance because they just so happened to show up and I had already given birth. And now I have this little baby in my home and I have to open the door to my grandmother and my uncle. And they're asking me, are you babysitting? And I had to say, no, this is my baby. I could see the disdain on my grandmother's face because she said, not my baby, not my granddaughter, not. I went to Georgia with them, Dr. Nathalie. Every summer I was in Georgia. I was still that little girl, but, well, this little girl. So when we were 6-7 months in, I had to stand up in front of the Baptist congregation and ask, as my grandmother would say, and beg pardon because I made a mistake. And I want you all to forgive me. I was no longer on the praise team. I was no longer singing in the choir. I was no longer a part of the youth department while I was pregnant. So I had to stand up and say, this is what I've done. I ask you to forgive me. I did it because tradition said, this is what I am supposed to do.
Tradition. Tradition.
All right, everybody. I know you have enjoyed it thus far because I know I have enjoyed it. Oh, my God. And we're going to be right back. We're just going to take a brief moment to hear about one of our sponsors. And guess what? You can be a sponsor, too. See you in just a moment. Well, all right. We are back and we're going to jump right back into it. Let's talk up close and personal.
The doctrine of man. And I mean no disrespect to our elders, because they only did and they only acted out what they knew. And unfortunately, even today, so many people are being taught in ignorance. And the Bible does say that we're going to be held accountable, the leaders, us, the saints, the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the fivefold. We're going to be held accountable for the things that we have taught you, the way that we have instructed you, and what we have directed you to do. That's why it says for you to study for yourself, to show yourself approved. You study for yourself. Just because somebody stands up in the pulpit in the synagogue, I don't care where they are, and teach something, you read it for yourself. But our God says that if you don't understand, ask him and he'll explain it to you. That happened back in the old covenant. That's what the old covenant did. But when Jesus came here for those 33 and a half years, and when he accepted after he went with his homeboys and said, I need y'all to go and pray with me for a while. And after three times, he said, whatever, peace out, y'all. I'm finna go on and do what I gotta do. You know, he went ahead and said, you know what, I've written, all right, G, this is how I talk. All right, G, okay, daddy. You know, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I really don't want to do this. Is there any other way that we can handle this besides me having to go through all this, what I'm finna have to go through? I'm finna get beat down, and I know I am, and I'm finna die for these people that give less than a tinker's about me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were happy for me, you know, for a minute, and now they don't, you know, they ain't too happy with me now. So, you know, hey, do I really have to do this? And I know some of y'all already ask that sometimes now. God, really? And I mean, because I'm finna jump right into what Coach Sabrina was talking about. Trust and believe me with both hands and feet, because I was there too. So he had to go through all of that, knowing what we were going to do. People in this flesh, major switch out artists, may have all the best intentions in the world, But if the majority says do this, if you're not strong enough in your own self, if you're not confident enough in your own self, you're going to go with the majority instead of going with what you know to do right. If you're not, the church, even today, and not all ministries, not everybody is like this, but there are some leaders know good and well what the majority wants us to do to some of these young girls and even some of these young boys. They know it's wrong, but the majority of the leaders want you to do that. And if they're paying your salary, then you know you better do this. Well, I'm sorry. I guess I would forfeit a salary before I cause a child to possibly go, because she could have gone and committed suicide. I tried to. I tried to. It was an embarrassment to my mama that I got pregnant at 15. But how the hell how you gonna be embarrassed? Now, and when I'm talking, my mama is gone, but she's been right there on some of my services, right there while I'm talking about this. So no, I'm not bashing her while she's dead. So get over yourself on that. Okay, so I'm 15, the man was 29 years old. She knew him, she knew the parents. She knew I was sleeping with him. He taking me back and forth to school on the motorcycle or in his car. I'm staying at his house. He helped me with my homework. He buying my school clothes. That's in that jacked up right there. But I got pregnant. You know that. But it's an embarrassment. Really? So you shipped me to Tampa to my oldest sister to have an abortion. The one and only time that I can remember to this day that my sister actually treated me like she loved me. Like she cared anything about me, because I think she was hurt more than I was hurt, the fact that I had to come do that. So that was an oxymoron right there. You know, fast forward, and now I got two children. And I grew up in the Baptist church. And like I shared on the show with Coach Sabrina, Lord Jesus. This woman sitting in front of me turned around to my husband at the time and said, "Oh, your son is so handsome. He looked just like you." And he said, "Yeah, he does favor me, but this not my son." "Why are you lying?" Da-da-da-da-da-da. She said, "I'm not." And I said, "He's not lying. That's not his dad. This is not his dad. This is not their dad." "Oh my God. You got pregnant and you wasn't married?" I see it, y'all. Walk with me. Hey, walk with me. Because I remember, I forgot I was sitting up in church. I wasn't fully delivered at that time. Because I cussed that woman out, sitting right there in that church. And told all of them, "I'm sorry, who y'all think y'all are? How many of y'all was pregnant and wasn't married? Ooh, how many of y'all dropped them? Got rid of them because you wasn't married? Ooh, I'm sorry. How many of y'all have played it off as though that's your sister's child that is married? Baby, how many has played it off that, oh, my grandmama, because my grandmama old enough to be my mama, you know, how many times y'all gave the baby to the grandmama and the grandmama raising them as though it's their child so they can save face? You don't get the Sam Hill beans out my face with that foolishness. And the bad part about it, now that happened back in the day. My children are in there, 39 and 40, 41, one of them two. I don't know. Anyway, they old now. But that mess still happening now. It's still happening now. And for the life of me, I do not understand why. And people wonder why a lot of people don't want to come to the church. Like I said, not all ministries are like that. And it's not just the Baptist church. Oh my God, Church of God in Christ. Oh my God, Pentecostal Church. Oh my God, Church of God. Oh my God, Church of, Methodist. I don't care who you are. I don't care what denomination you are. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, hey, wasn't it back there with Noah? When the sons walked in on him and he was naked because he was drunk. Mm-hmm. And they had to walk in backwards and put the cover over him. So they wouldn't embarrass him. Mm-hmm. But that one child that's just defiant. It was me. It was me. The wild one. You know, said, looked on him. And he got turned out then. Oh, wow. This is so messed up. It is so messed up. And y'all say, well, dang, I thought she said she was healed. I am healed. That's why I can talk about it. I'm healed and it still frustrates me. Not because of me, because I'm over it. But it frustrates me because you really and truly do have young girls that are terrified to tell their parents that they're pregnant. They made a mistake. Get over it. You might not have made that same mistake, but you did something. You went wrong. You went left wing somewhere. So what you gonna do? You gonna crucify the child?
Right. And you know, it comes to a point in life where we have to make that decision, right? So I have a 22-year-old, my baby boy, my only son, mm-hmm. my only child. So at 22, but the one thing that I raised him as a 15-year-old mother, I had to grow up quick, right? One thing that I was sure to instill into him, Doc,
come on,
is that you don't ever have to be afraid to tell me anything.
No.
Don't hide it. I don't care what you think I'm going to say. Mm-mm. Tell me. I want you to be free enough to say, you know what? I'm thinking that I want to have sex with this girl that I'm dating. And it every day I see her and we be alone and I keep thinking about it and she done touched me and I done touched. I wanted him to be just that free so that we could have an understanding.
Yeah.
Son, this is what could happen. And luckily I had my husband there. You know, I understand the feelings that you're going through. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell you not to do it, because if I tell you not to do it, then you're going to go ahead and do it. But what I am going to say to you is, what you want to do is X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
You want to be prepared so that if that moment does come, I don't want you to be caught off guard, because these diseases don't play with you. But I wanted him to be so comfortable that if he had something going on,
mm-hmm.
come on and tell me. If you got something wrong in your body, come on, let's go to the doctor. I don't care what happened. Come on, let's check it out. I didn't want him to feel that like I felt.
Yes.
Like I couldn't. And it wasn't because my mom was a bad mother. It wasn't because. It was because if we could be 100 in the Black culture, it was some things we just didn't talk about.
That, absolutely.
Some things that we just didn't say. Sex was taboo. We didn't talk about that. You could have a little friend, but we didn't talk about what comes with having a little friend and being a boyfriend. And when you go to the movies, we didn't talk about that kind of stuff. And it's not because, it's because that's the way she was taught.
Yes.
You didn't really, you're going to have a child when you get more susceptible, when you start your cycle, but really having a deep down doggone conversation, raw, up close, personal, and uncut. Can we be real? We didn't talk about
it. We didn't do that.
And if I keep it 100 with the audience, I was looking for love. Somebody gonna say, well, we all looking for love. No. It was me and my mother for 15 years.
Wow.
My mother found her a husband.
Mm-hmm.
My father got killed when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
So it was me and her, and daddy was in and out. He was a rolling stone. You know, but I love my dad.
Yeah.
15 years, it was me and her. And then all of a sudden, boom, a halt came. Mama found her somebody. Now it felt like I was on the Isle of Patmos all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I am just... And you all, give me just a moment. The plumber is at my door, and I need to tell my husband, give me just a second. Just now I am at a point that I'm searching and I'm looking. And the first Johnny Do-Right that came to the house, I was on it.
Yep.
Because mama had somebody, but I didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
And he paid me some attention.
Yes.
And we were good friends already.
But yes.
Now she got somebody taking up her time. And if we beat one, I wrote a paper in school for a scholarship, a $1,500 scholarship. And in that paper, I wrote about this very thing. And I said, it might not be a big happening to you, mm-hmm. but to me, I lost my best friend.
Wow.
And I was looking for it in somebody else. And I won that scholarship because it was raw. It was something that they had never heard before. But I was looking for it. Daddy was gone. I was looking. Mama gone. Now I'm looking for it. And then there I end up with my baby.
There you go.
My grandmother, she said to me, she said, she called it out. My grandma was just, I got an old soul like grandma. I just really got an old soul like my grandmother. My grandparents raised me, right? So when I was little, my grandparents was like 50, 55 years old. So all I know is, and she said, my baby is having a baby because she was looking for somebody to love. She called. And when she said that, I broke down. It became a reality to me. So I'm saying that to the audience today to let you know, you never know a person's story. You don't know where they came from. You don't know the tears and the heartache and the trials and the tribulations. And at 38 years old, I just retired. I did an early retirement to work for myself, a full-time entrepreneur, a young mother at 15 years old, raising a son. I have a master's degree in human resource management. I have a bachelor's degree in human resources. I have an associate's degree. Don't allow tradition, young ladies, to keep you bound up because you are your most valuable asset. I had to apologize to the congregation, but let me tell you something. As I reflect back on that situation, I was determined that no one would ever make me feel beneath my worth again. And it might be too heavy. Some of y'all might not understand it, and you might, and if you're too deep, you might need to get off. But no one would ever, after that day, make me feel less than worthy of who I am. I promise you. Now, I live my life for other people for so long. Until now, you can cancel Christmas. If I say no, it means no. If I may say yes, it means yes. Ain't no in between. This is what it's going to be. And they respect me even more for that. Boom!
Whoosh! I like that. And you're absolutely right. And while you were talking, I was thinking, and this is where the craziness really comes in. Back in the day, our grandparents and our parents, well, my parents, because I'm a little older than you are. My mama got married when she was 15 or 16. And she got pregnant. No, take that back. She was pregnant in her senior year of high school. Come to think about it, with my oldest brother, Leo. And she got married. So, but if you think, they used to get married real young. I mean, they were young children. Mm-hmm. Children having babies. But you know what the difference was with them? I have to give it to them. They were so mature. Mm-hmm. They were so much more mature. Mm-hmm. The guys were all pretty much already working. Mm-hmm. Even if they had to stop school, they were already working. They were already prepared to take care of a family. The young girls, Same thing. They were a lot more mature than they are now. But whose fault is that? If they're with you, like you said, you prepared your son. I got open door policy. Talk to me. I had open door policy with my kids, but then I got caught up in religion.
Ooh.
And became religious with my children to where they felt that they couldn't talk to me because I became so sanctimonious and so holy. The abused became the abuser. Mm-hmm. And if memory serves me right, I think they were around 15 or 16. And we were sitting down just having a conversation. And they began to tell me how much they hated me when they were a little younger because I was so religious. But I sure loved all them church folk, but I didn't really show them the kind of love that I showed them. Anybody in the church could come talk to them about anything, but they couldn't talk to me. Oh, that opened my eyes. That opened my eyes real quick. I said, oh, no, we got to do something about this. So then I began to share things with my children that I hadn't shared with them. And then I was getting rebuked from other people because, oh, you shouldn't tell your children this. Why not? That's what's wrong. I should have told them. Mm-hmm. I should have been telling them what had gone on with me. I should have been telling them what had happened with me and why I was the way that I was. And they began to understand why I was the way that I was at that point. And even today in 2021, we have to give way for our children to talk. And even some of you that were the children, and you still feel like you don't have a voice. You still feel like you had a gag order placed on you and it was never lifted. The first thing you need to do is forgive yourself. And a lot of people say, well, that's easier said than done. And you're absolutely right sometimes, especially if you don't know how to forgive yourself. People say that they love themselves, but they don't really like themselves. In order to really love you, you got to like you too. The good, bad, and the ugly, everything that comes along with it. And know your worth, just like Coach Sabrina said. Because Leonard told, I was supposed to be gone. I wasn't even supposed to make it to 21. You know, I was supposed to be the scum of the earth and all this other stuff, you know, from family, everybody. And just as Coach Sabrina, God bless me, I mean, doctorate, master's, you know, business, ministry, author, coach, you know, all this other stuff. I don't toot my horn, but I'm grateful for what God has allowed me to be able to go through to be able to be where I am now. And that's why we're here talking. That's why we're here sharing. Not to bash anybody, but to let you know that you can fall, you can stumble sometimes. And the people that you expect to be there to pick you up, sweethearts, might not be the ones that will. But rest assured, there is someone, there's a ram in the bush that's watching you, that's going to reach out to help you. And I'm just believing that it's not going to be a wolf that's going to reach out to help you. It's going to be somebody that's going to sincerely, genuinely, without looking for anything in return, willing to reach out and help you. And guess what? If you haven't found anybody, you have two people right here. Reach out to us. And I only met Coach Sabrina from our last conversation. And she's right there in St. Augustine, right where my dad was, where the funeral home is, and you know, all of this, all of these things. But we connected. Like-minded people have a tendency of connecting. Our spirits connected. And we were naked and we weren't ashamed. What would you give as a takeaway?
Oh gosh. I would say love you. Love you in spite of all of your flaws. Love you in spite of the hiccups and the mess ups. Because a lot of times we are so difficult and so hard, and we are our worst critic until we fall back into things, or we fall leaning on things that really have no benefit for us. There is a meme going around, or a little video, where the guy asked the young lady, how is this going to benefit me? Am I going to make anything off of this? Is this going to be profitable in any way? Her response was no. He said, keep it pushing. Anything that distracts you is a hindrance. Is anything that disrupts your peace, keep it pushing. We don't have time for religion or tradition, but we have time for kingdom. We didn't come to church bash. I just came to live in my truth. I just came to live in my truth. I came to edify Christ by telling you my testimony, that this is what happened to me in real life. Would I do that to a young lady today? Absolutely not. Would I have a conversation with that young lady one-on-one? Absolutely. Because I know how it feels to be in a situation and it seems like nobody cares about what you want to say. Nobody cares about how you feel. Nobody cares about what's going on the inside of you. But I care. It's important to me for your mental health to be just as intact as your physical, to be just as intact as your spiritual. Because the enemy comes in the mind first. And if he can begin to make you think that Johnny is the only one that loves me, you'll fall into that trap every time. And you might have already fallen in that trap. But I'm here to tell you, when at all possible, and if at all it is necessary, keep it pushing. Keep it pushing.
Keep it pushing. She said, keep it pushing. She used keep it pushing. I say forward move. Forward movement, most of it's necessary. And just like I said at the beginning, I want my desire for this month with all the podcasts and even the Facebook lives and YouTube lives, that there are people that will share their life with you like an open book, so that you'll know that you're not alone, so that you won't be another statistic, so that you know that there's hope. I am so grateful for the opportunity that was presented to me to be a guest on Marketplace Matters, all because of a post. And people want to bash Facebook. There's good, bad, and ugly on Facebook. But this was a good thing. This was a real, real, real good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and the mere fact that we can look back over this and laugh, the mere fact that we can look at our children and say, God, we thank you. Because although we had to endure this and although we had to go through this, he already knew that we would be able to take it. He already knew that those scars that we would have got, that we got, would become badges of honor and not of disgrace. He already knew that we were going to be two of his daughters that would be crazy enough to open our mouth and tell somebody, and not be ashamed, not sugarcoat it, but and be willing to reach out and help somebody else because we don't want to see somebody else. Now you know what? And I just thought about this, and we're getting ready to shut it down. We're talking about the young lady, but you know, the parents of the young lady might be accepting and approving, but the parents of the guy might not. We don't want to leave y'all out. We're equal opportunity. Trust me. Because sometimes the parents of the young man are 38 hot because the first thing they say, we got to take care. We got to do this, that, and the third, or depending on what their background is, because that young man may have come from an affluent background and this is a disgrace and what happened. So it's so many different variables that could be there. So young man, if it's you, and I know we're ladies, but guess what? You can still talk to us because we both have sons. And guess what? Our children can tell you some things. They can tell you some things straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
No two people's experiences the same. But the fact that we're still here is evident that we're not survivors, we're champions. We are champions. We have overcome this, and we will overcome anything that is placed before us because we know our value. We know that we have worth. We know, and it's not being cocky, it's just being confident. It's being confident in knowing that's all you got. Okay. I'm still here. She's still here. And you're still here. You're still here to see another day. You're still here to cry another tear. You're still here to go through some more heartache. But on the other side of all of that, and when you can look back at it and say, dang, that's all right now. That's all right right now. That's all right right now. You know? And when you see yourself standing up in front of thousands unexpectedly, you see your name in print, you see your book written, you see your song being produced, you see your poems being shared, you see your handiwork, you see your business, your corporation, your ministry, your community efforts going forward, you'll look back and say, you know what? All that was worth it. If I had to do it again, I'd do it again. It was worth it. Lord, I thank you. It was worth it. Oh my God. So this was part two. I believe that other things are going to come about that we'll collaborate on. Few things I'm looking at doing right in St. Augustine, because I got to come to the heart of the matter pertaining some foolishness that folks wanted to market my brother for. So, hey, and I'm the crazy one to go and talk about it. So, I thank you, Coach Sabrina, for being my guest. I thank you for being a sister. And I don't mean from an ethnicity standpoint, but it's part of the sisterhood because we understand each other's language. I thank you for sharing. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule and coming and being my guest. Would you please tell the audience how to get in touch with you?
Listen, you guys can you can find me a little bit of everywhere, but my website is www.ssbordley. That's SSBORDLEY.org. Everything about me can be found there. I am on Facebook as Sabrina S. Bordley. Everything about me is on there as well. I am an open book. I am a very transparent person. Sometimes my husband says to a fault, but it's all in my ministry of deliverance. It's been amazing, guys.
All right. Well, that was another wrap. It's another day. So thank you. Make sure you share this with your friends. Make sure you share this with your enemies. I'm so serious. Share it with your enemies. It might, it will brighten their day. Yes. Share it with someone, you know, and get in touch with us. When I say that, you know, people say that and not mean it, but I mean this wholeheartedly. I tried to offer myself too many times and God wouldn't allow me. So I understand. Get in touch with someone, tell somebody, talk to somebody before you go have a botched up abortion. Mm-hmm. Before you want to overdose on those pills, or you just going to up and pack up and leave and not even knowing what you're getting yourself into. Get in touch with someone. So again, this is Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. This is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson. And until we meet again, as always, be safe and be well.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. I hope something was said. I hope something was said that would challenge you, would bless you, would encourage you, would motivate you. That's the intention. That's my motive. That's my desire. So until next time, for Let's Talk Up Close and Personal, this is Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson. And as always, be safe and be well.